You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time here on Right Side Radio. Hey, listen, we're going to bring on a friend of mine now, Stephanie Smith. She's the principal at an organization called the Thatcher Coalition. She's also affiliated with an organization called Local Alabama. She's been around politics for quite a while. She's got her undergraduate degree from Auburn and a master's in public administration from UAB. She spent a lot of years doing governmental affairs for a Fortune 500 company. She has worked at the grassroots level. She's managed state and federal political action committees. She's lobbied in nine states. I mean, she's really kind of been in the weeds of what it takes to pursue things for politics, and she's a conservative, which is a great combination. So all that to say, my friend Stephanie Smith, thank you for coming on Right Side Radio. How you doing?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Phil. Doing well.
Thank you. Hey, so could not help but notice, I mean, you and I guess we went back and forth over the weekend about getting you on the show, and then boom, Local Alabama comes out with a video today. I tell you what, if you don't mind, before we even talk about the video, how about telling the folks what Local Alabama is and why it exists?
Sure. Local Alabama is a group that was started by my friend Allison Sinclair, who's actually a neighbor of mine, and we've been friends for a number of years. The idea behind the group is that change needs to happen locally. A lot of focus on education during the COVID pandemic and the ability for parents to see over the shoulder of what their children were learning upset a lot of people. And this is a group that was formed to push back on some of those things in local areas. And so that's why it's called Local. And it's growing leaps and bounds. And I'm privileged to serve on their board.
Well, and so Local Alabama is also, I mean, some of the same people who were involved in the Mountain Brook families who went to bat for issues at their school board, that was y'all too, right?
That's right. We weren't really organized during some of that with the ADL, but the Mountain Brook families group organized, the local group organized, and we worked together and in tandem on a lot of different issues, especially combating just kind of non-academic things being in the classroom, whether or not that's the mental health coordinators. That's one of the things that has been a question, social emotional learning, critical race theory, and then also, you know, just kind of the strange things that tend to be cropping up in kids' curriculum these days.
Yeah. Well, and the strange things that tend to be cropping up in our state politics these days too. So,
Well,
I mean, I just did a whole segment right before you came on the air. I'm calling it Alabama's Purple Politics. You and I were both in a meeting together not long ago of other conservatives, and the gentleman who has a track record in Alabama politics. I mean, he's been around. He kind of opened the meeting by saying, "We are a red state with purple politics," and that's too often the case right now.
Right, purple politics and definitely some purple politicians. And the frustrating thing, I know you share this frustration, is that you know, the party platform is clear nationally and in the state. I think the expectations of most voters are pretty clear, but a lot of our elected officials are not delivering on those expectations.
No, they're not, and we have some pockets. We have some solid members of the body of both the House and the Senate. We have some good people working in various aspects
Absolutely.
Of state government, but they're too often being trounced on by leadership who is guiding the ship towards what I would call the purple center, and that's
right.
that's not reflective of who we really are as a state population.
Right, which is exactly what we were aiming at with that video from Local, which is. Yeah, you know, A, don't forget what we've just lived through as far as the amount of governmental control that we all endured from the national level and even from a state level and a local level down to the, you know, local school boards making decisions about what kids could wear, how far apart they could be, you know, all of those things that were handed down by either the CDC the state governor or the, you know, or the state health officer. And so I think we just kind of lived through an unprecedented time where, at least in our lifetime, where, you know, there's a lot of governmental overreach into our private lives.
Well, Stephanie, whether it be local or your other experiences, I mean, your track record is somebody who has sort of been in the trenches at what I would call the grassroots level. I mean, you've worked all the way up at the governmental interests of a Fortune 500 company. You've worked on multi-state campaigns, but you also have really been in there looking at grassroots efforts. So in your opinion right now, is the state of Alabama, as a population of the state of Alabama, capable of another grassroots move like we saw in 2010 that swept the state house?
I think so. It's interesting to me that there hasn't been a groundswell in that way. I don't know that I would even say that. I think the groundswell is really focused on elections right now instead of specifically focused on an official that's already been elected. And so to me, the actual electorate of the state is maybe even redder than it was a few years ago, because there have been a lot of people kind of woken up to the idea that state government is growing and state government has a lot of control over us, and they're pushing back. The question to me is, will our elected officials listen?
Yeah, and I say it on the show all the time too. It's not even just state; it's local too. I mean, when you and your of course y'all's name is local, but when your school board, you know, your county administrator, when your mayor is heading down a road that is, you know, not conservative, that needs to be dealt with as well.
Right, absolutely. And there was a lot of blame shifting involved, especially as it related to the COVID pandemic. Everybody wanted to pass that blame, you know, up the chain. But really, the truth was, the power to make those decisions is really in our backyard, which is the idea and the impetus behind creating local and being a part of it, which is, if we don't stand up and advocate for our own kids, and if we don't stand up and advocate for our own families and our own backyards, then where are we?
So how does local work? I mean, is there a means by which people can get involved or can form a chapter, or what's the deal? How does this work for y'all and for their benefit if they're listening right now?
Yeah, sure. You can look on localalabama.com, which is the website. There are different chapters, mainly around the Birmingham metro area right now, trying to grow into North Alabama. There's been some interest down in the Dothan area to build chapters down there. But the idea is really to have whatever the local issues are be the focus of whatever of the groups. So it's not a top down. It's a true grassroots organization from the bottom up. So it's very, you know, it's going to depend what it looks like in every area is going to depend on what the issues are in that area.
So is it designed for providing a voice, or do y'all endorse candidates? Do you have a PAC? I mean, how does that work?
It's actually a C4. So no endorsements, education oriented and politically oriented somewhat, but education oriented, and really just trying to create coalitions and trying to create connections between families and between parents who are dealing with similar things in their area, to have them understand that they're not alone and they can come together to make a difference, you know, wherever the need is. If it's the library board, if it's the local school board, if it's, you know, a state representative that's not listening or not being responsive to the people they're supposed to be representing. It's all of those things. It just is going to depend on the location and what the needs are.
So let me ask you this, for the benefit of our listeners. I mean, I talk about this all the time on my show. Sometimes it's a matter of just start. Just find that place and just start is what I say. But what does just start look like? If you were right now, if you were called upon to come meet with a group of parents or a group of concerned citizens, and they wanted your input as someone who's done this before, how do they start? What would you recommend?
I would recommend trying to meet together. I think that during COVID, that was one of the things that everybody missed, was community and meeting people face-to-face. Try to have a meeting together and then build lists, so that you can be on a Signal group or be on an email chain or a text chain create a Facebook page, those kinds of things, in order to have regular communication about what's going on in the area, so that when things come up, as things come up, you have like-minded allies already in your back pocket that you know you can call on that will stand with you on an issue. And well, so, to me, the idea is so powerful because, really, it's not based on a structure. It's based on problems, and it's based on people responding to those problems together.
Okay. Well, that's good advice, and I agree. Because when you find out there's others around you that share the concerns you have or share the desires you have, for that matter, that can be galvanizing in itself. And my wife, you've met Charlene before, I believe, but my wife likes to say, and there's a lot more of us than there are of them if you get down to it. And
it doesn't feel like that always when you're isolated. And when, you know, when you watch local media and even, you know, higher level media, it makes you feel like maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks this way. And then when you start reaching out to others, you realize that there are a lot of us, a lot of conservatives.
Well, let me ask you this before we run out of time here. Prediction. Do you think we're heading towards more conservative politics, not just Republican, but actually conservative politics between now and 2022 midterms and then into the 2024 election? Do you think you're going to see a wave?
I do. I think that the reaction to, like I said, I think the reaction to COVID specifically, not the virus, but the actual reaction to COVID, is going to create that wave. I think that people desire community. I think they desire freedom. And I really feel like, especially in Alabama, we have, you know, just kind of a strong gut feeling that we want to be left alone. And so that didn't happen the last couple of years on any level. And I think that there'll be a pushback from that.
Well, Stephanie Smith, you've been in the trenches. We appreciate you. You're with ThatcherCoalition.com, with LocalAlabama.com, and a conservative in your own right. So thanks for spending time with us today.
Thanks so much, Phil. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day. All right, Copper, move us to the break. We're going to come back. I got to tell you guys a few more things in that vein. Alabama's purple politics, they don't have to be. In fact, I'm going to give you some insights on a story that I pulled off of AL.com that's dated 2 years ago, and how much has changed since then that they didn't see coming. And then I'm going to tell you about a grassroots movement in Etowah County, Alabama, which took the county by storm. You're going to want to hear this. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.